told during Bible class, and so I kind of tried to talk loud so everybody could hear me, and now my microphone's not working. So. I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker, so let me get closer. Welcome, welcome. I appreciate your attendance very much. We always say it, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves as a congregation in worship to our Heavenly Father. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning for you to follow along if you'd like to do that. The lesson is titled, The Challenge of Christ. The Challenge of Christian Living. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. It says, for hereunto were you called, or challenged, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. Wow, there's a challenge. And we should follow his steps. I mentioned the challenge of Christ to someone one time, and they said, Brian, Life by itself is already a challenge. Now you're adding the challenge of Christ on top of it. Somebody else told me, Brian, I'm doing yesterday's work, so by tomorrow I should be ready for today. And maybe sometimes that's the proverbial phrase. We have enough on our plate already. Now, Brian, you're saying you want to add something else today. You know, for some people, the challenge is not to tackle the task. The challenge is how to get out of it. But I'm not the one to encourage you in the task this morning. The challenge of Christ. Christ, by the way, Christ is the standard. I'm not the standard. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, to be a followers of me, but as I also follow Christ. Don't set me up or even one another up so high that if they discourage you in some way, that discourages your faith. Well, this is the challenge of Christ. And he did everything correctly. Said everything rightly. That's the standard and that's the challenge for us to imitate what he presented. He's the one that left us an example, and I am to follow that. I'm to strive to match the challenge that he's left, and you too. So let's take a look at these that I've tried to put down for you in note form. I think it's a challenge that determines, I know it is, it's a challenge that determines eternity. And it's costly. Number one, to live as Christ lived. First of all, he lived for others. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus was interested in others. How can I help you? Let me get that for you. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, then give his life as a ransom for many, for others. He expressed an attitude of, I've come to do the Father's will. John 6, verse 38, he says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Wow, that's a challenge. For us to imitate the Master, to minister to others, to present ourselves before the Father, and as the Old Testament illustration with Samuel, here am I, send me, Isaiah said. We need to present ourselves before the Father and say, if you speak, I'll listen. If you command, I'll obey.
If you send, I'll go. Because that's what the Son did. The Apostle Paul met the challenge with these words. In Galatians 2, verse 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've crucified. He's died with Christ. But then he says, nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave his life for me. Yeah, that's the challenge. To live as Christ lived. To look out for one another. And to say, God, what would you have me do? Number two is to grow as Christ grew. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus increased. Implies, some progress. He increased in wisdom, mental knowledge, and stature. He grew physically. And in favor with God. Spiritually, and man grew socially. So our challenge, as Peter pointed out in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow too, as Jesus grew. So people sometimes wonder, why do we have Bible classes? Why are we meeting on Wednesday night? Why do we have our gospel meetings or our youth rallies or our vacation Bible schools? Why do we have all of these friendships and fellowship opportunities for brethren to get together? It's so that you and I can grow in our faith. So we spend time striving to teach one another. I put an outline in your hand even for a lesson this morning. We strive to present opportunities to grow in all these areas, just as Jesus grew. The way of life may not always be easy, but it's always excellent. You know, when you grow something, you have to nurture it, don't you? You don't just plant that seed or repot that plant and I'm finished. You take care of it. Spend some time with it. You're going to grow. We need to exert ourselves. Take advantage of the resources. Romans 1:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Somebody said, well, I'm lacking faith. Well, then spend more time in the word of God. Grow. Number three is to think as Christ thought. That was in our text that was read to us. We know God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, so there's a challenge now. We and God don't always think alike. God said, my ways are not your ways. As near the illustration, and you get a picture of this, as the heavens are higher than the earth. That's a long ways. He uses that illustration to show the difference that God's ways are different than ours. Our challenge is not to say, God, you need to think the way we do. Our challenge is to think the way God does. When I was a youngster back in Muskegon, Michigan, we had our kitchen table is right on a window that looked out at the side yard. Dad would sit there, and I would be here, my brother Randall and Rod and my mom. Every once in a while, maybe once a week or so, my dad might look out that window. And he'd say, Brian, I see that the grass needs mowing. I only did this once. Look up and say, Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing. Grass needs mowing. He wanted me to see the grass the same way he did. When God gives us his message through his book, and he says, I see sin in this light, he wants us to see sin the same way he does. When God presents a ministry, benevolence or kindness or building up one another, He wants us to see it the same way He does, knowing His thoughts are not our thoughts, but He says, I want you to think the way I do. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His ways are not our ways, but it's the challenge that we have is to bring our ways and our thinking in line with God's. That's the challenge. So many times we want to say, oh, but I think this. I just feel this is so right. Yeah, I know. What does God say? How does God say we should think? How does God say we should see? We may see a particular sin and say, I don't think that's so bad, but how does God see it? That's the challenge. And unless we meet that challenge, people are going to think according to their own ways. And they'll live that way and not rise to the challenge. Number four is to obey as Christ obeyed. Learned obedience by the things that He suffered in Hebrews 5, verse 8. But He became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him. I want to obey as Christ obeyed. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, that's a good thing. I'll call you Lord. And so there's an attitude of submission, Lord. Then He added, but you do not the things that I say. So many of us, or too many times, there's too many people that just are satisfied with calling God or Jesus Lord, but without the submission, without the obedience. So Jesus presents that challenge. Oh, yes, you call me Lord, and we're all here at an assembly, you know, giving our worship and time to God, but do we do the things that He says? The challenge is to obey as Christ obeyed. Number five is to love as Christ loved. I look at the clock. My challenge is to cover this outline in 20 minutes. See the length of it. Your challenge is to believe that I can do it. Number five, to love as Christ loved. Oh, Romans 5, verse 8. God commends His own love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love for us. Jesus said in John 13, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. The challenge to love as Christ loved. Love is visible. God just didn't shout down from heaven, you know, give us a shout out and say, I love you. Appreciate hearing from you. But I'm in a predicament. I can't save myself from my sins. Present anything in my hands that's acceptable for the way that I've lived that you would accept as forgiveness. With John 3:16, so God so loved that He gave. So when we want to match that love, we need to give what we have. Jesus gave. What's your love? When you think about what Jesus gave, He gave everything He had. In illustration, He gave His head to a crown of thorns. He gave His face to be slapped. He gave His cheeks to dirty human spit. He gave His shoulders to a robe of mockery. He gave His back to be scourged. He gave His
hands and feet to the nails. He gave his side to a Roman spear. He gave his garment to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave his mother to the beloved Apostle John. He gave his spirit back to God. He gave his life for you and for me. By ourselves, what he's offered. The challenge is to love as he loved. Number six, to forgive as he forgave. Forgive as he forgave. In Colossians 3, verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Some people think that God can't forgive me. And they may even say to me, Brian, I don't think God can forgive me because for three things. Because, you know, I've committed too many sins, just by number. Oh, too many sins. And not only that, they were horrible. And not only that, Brian, I've committed them for too long a time. God can't forgive me. But those who come to God God's way, God promises forgiveness. Yes, he can. When Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and he reaches a point in his sermon in verse 37, Peter says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. In verse 22 of the text, he says, you by wicked hands have slain that Son of God. But in verse 37, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I bet there were some pretty horrible people in that audience, perhaps. Some of them may have even thought, I can't be forgiven. But they were cut to the heart, threw their hands up. We've crucified the Christ, we've murdered the Messiah. What can we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For to you is the and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then with many other words, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And then in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. We want to forgive as Christ forgave us. And look at the forgiveness that we have. And now we need to look at others. And forgive when someone comes to us and says, I'm sorry. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the challenge. We all think forgiveness is lovely until we have to do it. Number seven is to endure as Christ endured. Hebrews 12, let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the challenge. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. Yeah, sure did. We want to endure. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't bail out. Don't forsake. That's the challenge. The challenge of Christ. Number eight is to overcome as Christ overcame. John 16, verse 33 says, in the world you have tribulation. Well, we can attest to that, can't we? I have the hardships, the struggles. But then he says, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. In Revelation 3, verse 21, to him that overcomes. Yeah, that's the challenge. Overcome, to stay on God's side, to let people know whom we belong by the way that we behave and by the things that we say. Overcome. challenge. He says, I'll grant that one to sit with me even as I also overcame. And the last, number 9, finish our work as Christ finished his. Almost the same as number 8. Don't give up. Stay to the end. Jesus was on the cross in John 19, verse 30. He said, it's finished. One of the words in the cross. It's finished. What was finished? What was finished? The sacrifice was complete and will now be accepted to God. So he wasn't left in the tomb, but he was resurrected. Lived another 40 days after the resurrection of him in his own right. It's finished. Nothing else needs to be done to accomplish the forgiveness of our sins on his part. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I'm ready to be offered. In other words, I'm about ready to die. End of my life is near. The time of my departure is at hand. So that I fought the good fight. I've finished. And that's the challenge for you and me. To stay on God's side. To finish the course. And don't bail out. And don't give up no matter what the hardship, what the struggle. Pull in the resources that God's made available for all of us to meet the challenge that lies before us. That's the lesson today. The challenge of Christ, of Christianity. If you're here this morning, I'm a member of the New Testament church. You have been baptized for remission of sins. You had that opportunity. There's a simple plan or formula or ingredients or steps that you'll need to take. Number 1, I want you to hear the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 33, come learn. Then second, you'll need to believe what you hear. Believe. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Oh, we need believing too. Believe that message. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Oh, I need to believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's not. For he that comes to God must believe. Believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And then number 3, a necessary ingredient in that birth process of becoming a Christian is to repent. Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Then number 4, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him in Acts chapter 8. He preached unto him, Jesus. The Ethiopian interrupts his sermon and says, here's water, anything hindering me or stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. I need to hear it. So Philip said, well, I believe that Jesus, or the Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And Philip said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot to stand still. And then number 5, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. So that's the invitation we extend. If you want to rise to meet the challenge of Christ, you can do it. That's the invitation we offer. If you're subject to that invitation, at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And if that's it, you just simply say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or Brian, I want to ask prayers from the congregation while we're gathered here. We can accomplish that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for.